Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock. Coming up, I'll tell you why I've got a big problem with the latest criticism of Grayson Allen and what Donald Trump's latest attack on the NFL means. Speak for Yourself starts now. Friday, baby. It's good to be everywhere but Brazil. All right, hello and welcome. Cowherd is off today. We just saw a couple of huge World Cup matchups. And joining me today is Fox soccer analyst Warren Barton. Let's start in Russia, where Brazil, the overwhelming favorite to win the whole thing, lost to Belgium 2-1 today, including surrendering an on goal, the record 11th World Cup on goal. With Brazil out, this will be just the third time since 1970 that a South American team hasn't made the semis. Warren, what happened to Brazil today?
Well, I think they come up against a very good team in Belgium, had their tactics with Lukaku and Hazard, who are their two outstanding players, played on the counter-attacking football. And with Neymar, he wasn't enough to actually break down this stubborn defence of Belgium. But he's a match winner. The referee was keeping an eye on him because we've seen him now dive, so maybe that come into the equation. And basically, Jason, they wasn't good enough. They come up against a team that tactics were spot on, good players, took their chances, a little bit lucky with the deflection for the own goal and hanging on at the end. But it's a big surprise, as you rightly said, with Brazil not being there.
You made the point that I kind of want to jump on because I thought, being a novice, I think Neymar's antics play a little bit of role in this loss. Am I wrong for thinking that?
No, you're definitely not, because there were some occasions where in other games where he's gone down and had PKs for him. But I think the attention that he's had, the rolling around, the diving on the field or flopping that he's been done, particularly earlier on in this tournament, is maybe caught up with him. And the referees are aware, they're spot on, players are aware. So anytime he does dive, they're going to the referee saying that he's diving. So again, it maybe hinders the approach of Brazil, where they're a bit more flowing, comfortable with their football. And the Belgian players made sure the referee knew when he did dive.
Is he such a big star in Brazil that this will have no effect on his reputation, or will this World Cup and his antics and the way he's been criticized, will that affect his reputation?
Well, I think they want to be very protective of their superstar. So, yes, they will get around Neymar and try and protect him, because without him, they're never going to win a World Cup. Now, whether it's in 4 years' time or in 8 years' time, we're going to have to wait and see whether he's still around. So they will try and protect him, but they're also going to say to him, look, you need to stay on your feet more, because when you do have the ball and you are staying on your feet, you're one of the best players in the world. Keep being on the ground and rolling around. That's never going to help Brazil try and win this competition.
All right, to today's early matchup, where France defeated Uruguay 2-0 to advance to the semifinals. France is one of the four countries to reach the semifinals in at least three of the last six World Cups. Warren, France was pretty dominant, but Uruguay was without their top scorer, Edinson Cavani. How big of an impact did that have?
That was huge, Jason. It's like taking a LeBron James out of the Cavalier, and that would be devastating, because they haven't got the depth in quality. Luis Suarez is an excellent player, but Cavani gives you that physical presence, the power, and also he's got good character when you're up against a very, very good team like France. So it's a huge loss. They worked hard, they're organised, committed, but not enough against this French team, who are quite sensational. They're peaking at the right time. They didn't start very well against Australia. They've got some momentum, and with someone like Mbappe, you've got one of the best, hottest players in the world. He's only 19 years of age.
Belgium seems to be ascending. How does France match up with Belgium?
Very, very well. I think with the counter-attacking style of football that France can play, they can defend quite well as well. And they've got midfield area with someone like Pogba. But Belgium are strong, organised. Lukaku is a beast up front, the way he can hold the ball up and bring other people into game. It matches up well. But I just think France have got maybe that little bit of quality in midfield. And Griezmann, who plays in this number 10 position just behind the lone striker, he can make things happen.
It sounds like you're picking France.
I am picking France, just with the experience they played 2 years ago in their home nation in a final. All that pressure they've gained from that against a Belgian team that are riding the wave, but I think they are defensively vulnerable.
All right, to a huge matchup tomorrow on Fox, where England faces off with Sweden. Coverage starts at 9 Eastern. Sweden will look to contain England's Harry Kane, who has been the top scorer in Russia. Warren, I know who you're rooting for here, but do you expect more magic from Harry Kane?
Jason, I don't think my heart's going to take it, not after the penalty shootout. It's been two decades since we won a shootout. But with Harry Kane, he's got 6 goals in this tournament. He leads the line well. The young players have got confidence. I know Gareth Southgate, the coach, very well. He's got them organised. He's got them in a free-flying spirit. And with Harry Kane, you've got every chance. We know with Sweden, I've played against them. They're organised. They're physically a strong team. They defend very well. But I'm not sure whether they've got pace up front to hurt England.
Is that an unbiased opinion, or are you just simply...
Are you trying to go against my... I'm giving you an honest opinion here that England will win.
So you're picking England
To win. Okay.
All right. And that's an unbiased... Who on Sweden should we be worried about, or who will you be worried about?
They've got a good player who we see on the Bundesliga all the time on Fox. He's a Frosberg, number 10. He's a talented player. He scored in the last round. He plays his on that left-hand side, but he does drift in. So if England do push forward, he can get a little bit of space in that hole and go forward. He scored again, as I said, against Switzerland in the last game. He's a dangerous player. We see him week in, week out on the Bundesliga for Leipzig. So a dangerous player, but for England's point of view, if they go forward, they've got every chance of winning.
We just saw Brazil exit. We've seen a bunch of other favourites exit. Who do you like now that's left in this tournament?
Now I am going to be biased and maybe go with England because I do think they're riding the wave. But France, to me, look like an excellent team, an exciting team. And they've got a point to prove. As I said, they lost the final in their home nation 2 years ago. They want to go forward and try and win this.
What about Russia? To me, playing at home, the emotion of playing at home, I know they're on paper the worst team left, but they're playing at home, and I think they could ride that wave.
They are riding the wave, and they have done that in the last couple of games because to beat Spain, to take them to penalties, extra time, they had the fan base behind them to give them that energy and confidence to try and beat someone like Spain. But that only takes you so far. And now you're playing against a team like Croatia, who actually went the same route, went to extra time, went to penalties and beat Denmark with Luka Modric in there, who we see week in, again, week out with Real Madrid in the Champions League. They've got the X factor where Russia haven't got that. So that energy and passion from the fans will get you so far. But I think Luka Modric could be the key in this game.
Thank you very much, Warren. This is the Speak for Yourself podcast. I'm Jason Whitlock. And before the show moves along, I want to tell you today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring, posting your position to job sites, and waiting for the right people to see it? ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/speak. That's ZipRecruiter.com/speak. ZipRecruiter.com/SPEAK. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now back to the show. All right, welcome back to the show. I'm joined now by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard, Fox Sports Radio host Doug Gottlieb, and the founder of the Big League, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to the NBA Summer League, where Grayson Allen and Trae Young got into it at the end of the Jazz-Hawks matchup last night, with both guys getting slapped with technical fouls, but Grayson taking the brunt of the criticism on social media afterwards. That may not be surprising given Grayson's reputation coming out of Duke as a dirty player, but I think the criticism of him is bordering on a little bit dangerous. I hop on social media, and that's where I found this story, and I'm seeing a lot of people tweet, Grayson Allen needs to be beaten up. He's going to be punched in the NBA. I think it's creating a culture around Grayson. When he goes into the NBA, everybody's going to feel like someone needs to take a pot shot at him. I think it's a bit dangerous, particularly when you look at this incident. I think Grayson Allen and Trae Young are equally at fault here. And Trae Young, to me, is the first guy to get kind of aggressive. I just see two young guys struggling in the summer league and that frustration boiling over.
It's going to happen. Every time he gets physical with somebody, it's going to happen because of his reputation, which is well-deserved. But some people like it. I co-hosted the Dan Patrick radio show today with Jason Smith, and he loves Grayson Allen after this. He thinks he's going to be a hard-nosed, tough-edged Steve Kerr or J.J. Redick. So this is going to follow him until he proves otherwise, but I don't think it's dangerous.
If Trae Young did hit him, that would be the first thing he hit in the summer.
Neither one of them are shooting well.
Ooh, well done, Doug.
Look, I understand his reputation is well-deserved, but if you won't make it in this league as a backup, you got to get up into somebody and prove you're not going to get punked. Okay? Pat Beverly, in the league for a reason. Yep. Right? Marcus Smart, in the league for a reason. Matthew Dellavedova, in the league for a reason. There's a limit on some of their skill, some of their talent, and yet you have to show that you have the toughness to survive, to guard anybody. Because that's just Trae Young, who's 170 pounds soaking wet, can't go by anybody. At some point, it's going to be LeBron James or Kevin Durant. Somebody can do some serious damage and give you 30 in a heartbeat. I actually think that Grayson understands what it takes to be a pro, to show that he's not going to get punked. Because, look, that's the KD move, right, where you sweep and try and shoot a three and get the foul, and he kind of got caught there, and he just kind of got locked up. But the fact that he's not going to back down, it's sending a message.
What do you think about the social media conversation around him that's like he needs to get popped in the mouth? I see a lot of borderline dirty players. You rattled off the names of some, and we saw it with Draymond Green, with Charles Barkley saying he needed to get popped in the mouth. Yeah. I'm pretty consistent here. I called Charles. It's like, hey, man, don't be talking about popping this dude in the mouth. That's what I'm saying.
But that's also, though, the reality of the sport, though. Like, look, you make a really good point often about let's just not live our lives or set a show based upon Twitter, right? And I do understand, though, that young guys can be on Twitter and think that's the right way to react. I actually think at some point somebody is going to take a swing at him. And you know what? If he keeps going straight forward, he will stay in the league. If not, like, why do you think Jimmer Fredette's in China, not here? It's not because he can't shoot and score. It's because he wasn't willing to do that. He's not willing to get up into somebody defensively. Otherwise, you will get punked, and you will be out of the league before your rookie contract's
done. I got to side with Whitlock here. What we're seeing, and you see this on social media a lot, is the tribalism. If you did not like Grayson Allen before he got to the NBA, you're going to hate him. You're going to say anything that he did, and he's not at fault here. This is, like you said, two guys getting tied up. But if you were on that side, oh, Grayson Allen's dirty, and he did some dirty things, anything he does is going to be dirty. I mean, Chris, this was not a dirty play. They got locked up.
He ran his shoulder.
Yeah, well, Young tried to flip him, but
he ran the shoulder into him.
Okay, after he almost got flipped.
No question.
And I'm not going to defend Grayson Allen. I will say this. He played great defense on Trae Young. I believe Trae Young was 3 of 16. And Grayson Allen, as you said, is doing the other little things. He had 6 rebounds, 8 assists, I believe 3 steals last night. Those are the things you need to do to stay in the league. This dirty stuff, it feels unseemly on social media.
This could help him. Coaches will like he's not going to come in and be a 20-point scorer. But if he'll defend, get under guys' skin like a Lance Stephenson type, like if he can do stuff like that, he's got a lot
to prove.
Rondo can't shoot, right? Lance Stephenson can't shoot. Why are those guys valued in the league? I understand the discussion you're having is a different one than I'm having. My point is that this is the problem with Twitter, is that they don't even know what they're looking at.
No. But here's my issue, because it's beyond Twitter. Because media outlets tweeted out the confrontation and focused in on that highlight.
Sure.
And what you're saying is he needs to play this way in order to survive in this league. But every time Patrick Beverley or Draymond does this, it's not immediately focused on, and oh my God, look at these guys are dirty players. He's going to be under a different microscope because, one, the media knows people react to whatever Grayson Allen does, and they're going to feed them that bait. It's going to be harder for him to play the way Patrick Beverley and some of these other guys play.
Jason, you know it's all about the clicks. Listen, white guy from Duke. Tripping people in college. People are clicking on that. Grayson Allen is a click machine for us. He's not even a big star. People will click on Grayson Allen. That's why the New York Post is writing about this and everybody's aggregating it. But when Patrick Beverley gets in a dust up, that's not a post.
Draymond Green was kicking people. You saw a post they showed, 170 times or something like that, that he kicked people. He's gone past it because he's become a champion and a part of the league. But Draymond, initially, there was just as much, if not more,
in the playoffs, we're in the summer league, and two guys both shooting around 22%. This is what we're focusing on.
But Jason, in fairness, not only is Grayson Allen clickbait, so too is Trae Young. ESPN can't get enough of Trae.
Yes.
So you have the only two rookies that anybody even knows exist on Earth, right? Like DeAndre Ayton, we've just seen him block shots. If you get past, nobody's seen Luka Doncic play except for, you know, on YouTube or if you're watching on Twitter, some sort of highlights. Outside of that, nobody knows anything. So you did have kind of the perfect storm. Both aren't playing well. Both are rookies. They're the two rookies people know. You got Trae Young is trying to prove that he's tough because everybody thinks that he's soft. He didn't guard anybody. He doesn't like it physical. And Grayson Allen is just trying to prove to his teammates, to his coaches, like, I'm here to stay. I can tell you, I talked to 5 other teams. They're like, look, I love Grayson Allen's toughness. Now, if he trips somebody in the NBA, he is going to get popped. Yeah. Or worse, he'll be in the locker room and the Rockets will find the rear entrance into the locker room. Because that's what will happen. But if he doesn't and he's just a hard-nosed player, this is what he's going to have to do if he wants to stay in the league.
Hi, I'm Alexi Lalas. I used to play soccer back in the 1900s for the U.S. Now you can find me talking about soccer this summer during the World Cup on Fox. Now through July 15th, you can get daily FIFA World Cup updates from me through your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, play the Fox Sports Flash Briefing, and you'll get the latest tournament news straight from Russia. Alexa and Alexi, now that's a winning team. Don't forget to watch the 2018 FIFA World Cup all tournament long live on Fox and FS1.
Welcome back. Doug Gottlieb is back. We're joined now by a couple of longtime NFL players, Seth Joyner and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Let's move to the NFL, where President Trump once again attacked the league over its new national anthem policy. The league requires players to stand at attention during the anthem, but also leaves the players with the option of staying in the locker room. Here's what the president had to say yesterday.
Hey, how about the NFL? Look, I don't want to cause controversy. You're right, USA is right. I don't want to cause controversy, but how about they pass this stupid thing? You don't have to do this anymore. If you don't respect the flag or if you don't like the country or whatever it is, just go into the locker room. Just go into the locker room. I think in many respects, that's worse. Isn't that worse than not standing? You know?
But he doesn't want to cause controversy. As we wrap up the 4th of July week, my concern for black NFL players is they've been positioned as unpatriotic by this entire national anthem controversy. When we think back on the Colin Kaepernick protest, that will be the biggest legacy. Kaepernick redefined the brand of black NFL players and did nothing to redefine the issue of police brutality. At a time when NFL players want to talk about improving how and how much they're compensated, Kaepernick has undermined their public support, which will severely damage them at the negotiating table. I'm going to shock everyone watching and even you guys sitting here, but believe it or not, the NFL is not the right venue to oversee policing issues. You do that at City Hall. The NFL is a platform for making money. That's it. All right.
Just shut up and play football, huh?
It's
shut up and make your money.
Not during Sundays during game time. You got 6 other days during the week. You got 21 other hours on Sunday. On game day, it's about making money. It's not about, and he did not redefine police brutality. He's redefined NFL players and made people think of them as unpatriotic. It's going to hurt financially, and it didn't advance the cause that you think he advanced.
Well, I think he brought attention to some things that needed to
be
that need to be looked at. If you want to take it there, then take it there. But I just view it in a completely different way. Okay, listen, the guy has committed $1 million of his dollars to social injustice, but we're only talking about police brutality, and we're only talking about, you know, the national anthem. You know, shouldn't the president, doesn't he have other things, you know, that he should be focusing on without having to bring up the NFL all the time and rallying up his base and whatnot? Listen, this is something I happen to agree with him on, because the NFL has not fixed their problem. Because there are going to be some players on week one that are going to stay in that locker room, and when the national anthem is done, guess where the cameras are going? The cameras are going right to that tunnel where they come out, okay? And if the networks choose not to put the cameras on them, the beat writers and everybody else that's there is going to go crazy over this, okay? So, and that's going to be even more inflammatory than the fact that guys decide to stay on the sideline and kneel.
So you agree with Trump?
They haven't fixed the problem. The NFL has not remedied this problem.
There's still a win there to be had by the players, okay? There's twofold here. One, now he's attacking the entire business of the NFL. This is where you can get some solidarity with the owners. This is where you can have an owner speak out and say, hey, you know why he keeps taking shots at us? Because we wouldn't let him own one of our teams. And he's still, he'll, all the money, all the power in the world, he'll never own one of our teams. They haven't gotten that, but now they could. Additionally, I don't think they're going to stay in the locker room. I think guys are going to kneel. But what they should do is kneel with the flag in their hand. You think this is about patriotism? We're the most patriotic guys there are. I think he keeps extending the fight, a fight that to this point he has won. He's won on points, but I think he can lose it because he's end zone dancing. He's celebrating when the game should be over. He should move on to the next winnable topic. Instead, the reason he's rallying up his bases, this is one of the wins he has so far in his presidency.
I got it. But I just want to be crystal clear here. Yeah. What we're trying to talk about is Colin Kaepernick has created discussion about the patriotism of NFL players
right. And
the national anthem. That will be his legacy, agree or disagree. I don't need 10 minutes on it, but just agree or disagree.
The problem is the narrative, obvious. We can talk about this for hours, and we're all still going to disagree at one point or another on different things. Colin Kaepernick meets with Nate Boyer, the Green Beret that was with the Seahawks. Kaepernick is sitting down. He says, you know what, to be a little more respectful, don't sit down, take a knee. He takes a knee. It's still a problem.
Boyer's one person who's not a seasoned ticket holder.
They tried to paint it as we're against the flag, we're against the military. It's not against any of that.
No, it doesn't matter what they tried to paint it as. Because he never spoke up, because he wasn't a verbal leader, it was they were able to take it.
Once they switched the narrative,
yes,
they did speak up and say it's about injustices that African Americans are going through. And so is it right to do it on the NFL platform? No. But because that's the only platform that
it's
they have
not
that will be.
The only platform they have.
If they do it in another. When can they do it and
before
get
and
this
after,
much
before,
attention?
Before
nobody's going to pay attention
that's
to
not,
it.
That's not true. The NBA players, okay, in fairness.
That's
Jason,
a different thing because
no, it's not.
Their commissioner, in a way, they get along in a way.
They have the exact same rule, TJ. The same rule.
No, they must stand.
No, yeah, I understand. They get the same rule or not come out of the locker room. It's the same rule.
This rule was just implemented. And then, by the way, May 24th,
the NBA rule was implemented when Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf would not stand
Chris Jackson,
for the national
I remember
anthem.
Him.
Okay, so listen. What Jason's saying is, like, everybody says NBA players have the right to speak out. Yeah, they do, before and after the game, at the press conference, anything they do on
T-shirts
Twitter.
T-shirts want to wear.
Whatever they do. NFL players can do the same thing. They can wear their cleats before the game. They can wear whatever injustice cleats they want before the game. The rules
that
are the
just
same.
Recently where you, he'll
no, no,
tell
no,
you,
it's always,
could you wear cleats before the game? You'd get fined.
No,
You'd get fined.
I understand. But what Jason is saying, which is accurate, which is NFL players keep saying, like, well, NBA guys, they have the right chance to speak up and we don't. It's actually the exact same.
The platform is different. You know the 15th guy on the NBA. You see his face, you know him. There's five players on every team that you know who they are. Outside of that, you don't
there's
know these guys. You know the name.
There's three or five players on NBA teams who you actually know. The only reason you can recognize the other guys is because they're tall. No one knows them. No one cares about them. There's just as many NFL superstars as there are. There's more, actually, than NBA superstars. There's a lot more conversation about a few of them. But again, the NBA players, and again, this is what I don't understand about NFL players, why they can't see the genius of NBA players. They have you all convinced as football players, you got to go out there and protest and kneel and do something during the national anthem.
They don't do
We're
it.
Not going to do it.
Correct.
We're going to protect our money. We're going to protect our brands. And we're going to keep making money with the shoe companies and the NBA. We're going to make as much money as possible. We'll let you NFL players convince yourself that the only thing you can do is kneel during the national anthem or protest during the national anthem. We ain't doing it. It's crazy that y'all gone for it.
The incident with Abdul created the opportunity for the NBA to close that loophole. The problem with the NFL is it said they should stand. That's what it said in the original CBA, okay? So now when Colin Kaepernick starts doing what he's doing, now we got to go in and we got to change the language. Listen, there's one thing that history has taught me. Is that the only way that you affect change, the only way that people change is to make those who oppose the things that you're protesting for, the change that you want to see, is to make them uncomfortable. And
Seth,
this makes them
there.
Uncomfortable.
I'm going to let you pick up again. That's the biggest trope, lie.
It's factual.
No, it's not.
What did I say that wasn't factual?
That the only way to promote change is to make the other side uncomfortable. That is not accurate. The way to promote change and the way to get people to change is to make the other side feel like there's something in it for them. This is good for me, good for the country. The narrative out there is like Martin Luther King and them did all that protesting to make people uncomfortable so things would change. That's not true. They did it to demonstrate on a worldwide platform We are on the moral high ground. Our enemies are not. And that they undermined the moral high ground for the other side and forced them to change because their image was being so tarnished, they had no choice but to change. That's what happened. This myth that unless you're in someone's face, unless you're being disrespectful, making them uncomfortable, nothing's going to change. It's a myth. That's why we have gone. Let me finish, and I'm going to let you go back. That's why we have gone from we shall overcome, which is a very spiritual thing, to no justice, no peace, which is confrontational. If you examine the results, what got results? We shall overcome, or this in your face, no justice, no peace. It's clear. It's a landslide victory. It's one of the biggest blowouts in the history of the world. But everybody thinks no justice, no peace, confrontational, let's go out and make people uncomfortable. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
I agree.
People uncomfortable. You know what they say? I can make you just as uncomfortable.
I agree. But you know, what is it? What is it about morality that makes someone feel bad about their moral position? It's an inner uncomfortability that they feel, that they know that they're not treating somebody equally and they're not treating them justly.
I'm not sure people care about that.
Yes, they are.
I'm not, Seth.
If you're talking about we shall overcome.
I'm just talking about humans. I'm just talking about humans. I don't know if humans sit around, someone else is uncomfortable with what I think, or when people are getting over on you, they don't care about you.
I agree.
It has to be something
I agree.
In it for them.
So when they're getting over on you, and they don't care about how you feel, when you do something to take them out of that element, that makes them uncomfortable. And that forces someone to change. It forces them to change the way that they think. It forces them to change what they believe.
When your goal is to make someone
it forces the environment outside.
Just reduce it down to a human relationship, a one-on-one. Try it with your wife, girlfriend, whomever. You know what, baby? I'm going to get you to change by making you uncomfortable.
No, I'm not trying
to change
nobody.
See
how it works.
It works. It just doesn't work.
All right, so Jay, here's my question to you, okay? If you're an NFL player and you are morally opposed to what the president says and to the rule about staying in the locker room and you want to protest for your own reasons about whether it's social injustice or police brutality, what do this fall?
I make as much money as I possibly can, and I take whatever portion of that money I feel comfortable with and invest it in causes that promote the kind of change that I want to see. Because that's what wealthy people
do. Honestly, there's very few people that's going to do that. And that's just the problem.
So what you just announced, there's very few people that are going to have success. But
and this is the thing. And this is the thing. And you guys... There's a bunch of guys in the NFL that saw so-and-so kneeling and was like, oh, I guess I'll kneel too. They're just kneeling to kneel. They're not trying to do what you said and really make a difference and really get in the community and try to spark change. They just saw, oh, Kaepernick kneeled. Oh, the Eagles, they standing up with the fist in the air. All right, I'm going to do something too. That's 90% of the guys that took a knee. They've done it because they've saw other people and they've seen other people do it. They're followers. And they're not really trying to get in there and get in the grassroots and exact change. They're really not going to do that.
I agree. And before Jason jumps on that, I want to make a point.
Go ahead.
Because there was a story with Josh Norman and another gentleman. You know, they went down with the immigrant children and spent some money down there.
With a bunch of money.
Then I turned around. I seen Leonard Fournette yesterday. A young woman was short on her tuition, and he paid it. And I've been tweeting for the longest. When something negative with football players, or athletes in general, happen in the public, it's all over the news. We glorify. We won't let it die. We like Kaepernick, we beat the dead horse to death. But 90% of the players in the NFL are doing great things. They're showing great love and great compassion. But we're not talking about it. We're not putting that on major network TVs. We're not talking about
Sounds like my point.
So there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on that is positive.
The best point
But all we talk about is the negative stuff.
Sounds like the best point you made.
It is a great point, but I guess the question is, how do you turn... Because he's right. If it bleeds, it leads. Okay, news is always going to be negative. We're always going to focus on the negative. How do you turn around that narrative if it's already set in stone
because,
by Kaepernick?
Look. By Kaepernick is the issue. And again, I'll go back to the NBA and their whole NBA Cares marketing campaign that they did to push their players into the spotlight about what they're doing in the community. This has been going on for years. We've all seen it, NBA Cares, blah, blah, blah. And so they have decided, made a business decision, we're not gonna do things that are completely off our brand during the national anthem. We're gonna make money, we're gonna use that money to support the things that we believe in. We have this NBA Cares, and we're gonna force it out there and push it down people's throat. Here's what we're doing. The NFL has the same opportunity, but what TJ has said, I don't wanna put words in your mouth, what I'm saying is Colin Kaepernick and a handful of followers have hijacked the narrative about NFL players. And you guys have all sat around and applauded it and pretended like there's something good in it. And I'm telling you, the results are bad and they're poisonous for NFL players.
The problem is you got Trump running his mouth, and now they'll do things just in spite of him. Just, oh, you're going to tell me I'm going to do it now.
That's what happened at the end of the season. This thing was done. It was over.
If the NFL doesn't come out and say, oh, you can stand in the locker room, I guarantee there's very few guys at Tech and E this year if the NFL doesn't come out and say, oh, you can stand in the locker room, but if you're on the field, you have to stand. If they just let it be, it's going to die down.
It threw gas on the fire.
And now Trump is smart. He comes out and says what he says. Right. It's like, okay, now guys are going to say, all right, you think...
He also knows guys don't want to be punked out by the president, by Trump. And so they're like competitive. They're competitive nature. Like, I want to win this thing.
To your point, Doug, you were talking about as a rallying cry for the league. You know, they tried that. You know, when Trump came out the first time last year, all the owners and, you know, Jerry Jones and everybody, but it's not one of those things where it has any staying power. It's not like it's not like the NBA with NBA Cares, because you know what happened with the NBA? The NBA said, we're going to get behind our players and their initiatives and what they're doing.
The NFL isn't doing that. They just gave $100 million to the Players
last
Coalition.
Year.
I understand that, but they did it. And I'm saying, they've been doing it. I saw the Kansas City Chiefs do it for years.
Every team does that.
But why aren't we talking about that? Don't do it, and they have done it, and we gotta go.
Why aren't they doing it? Why aren't we seeing it? Why aren't we seeing the fruits of that?
Because no.
But we're talking about Kaepernick, but we're not seeing the fruits of all the good that's going on.
Because if it bleeds, it leads. If it's negative, that's
nobody's gonna talk about it.
All right, welcome back to the show. Chris Broussard, Doug Gottlieb, and Jason McIntyre back. Let's move to Kawhi Leonard, whose future still remains unclear, but whose reputation for being a bit odd may be coming more into focus. Reportedly, Kawhi was rehabbing his injured knee in New York last season. Some Spurs execs showed up to meet with him, but Kawhi's people led him away, and he actually hid in another part of the building. Look, I read this report, and I saw where you came out and Kawhi's people disputed it. And I hope that you're right. But I just think Kawhi Leonard, from what I understand, the agency is now paying the mother and the uncle. They're on payroll. And that we have a bit of a Lamar Jackson situation, that the mother and the uncle are running things and quarterbacking things. And not Kawhi, and he's a little bit hard to get a hold of for teams. This is an odd situation, and I'll just go back again to it's a bit of a red flag for me for NBA teams. He's quirky. He's a little bit like Ricky Williams, the running back, to me. Not as, you know, Ricky Williams had a bad weed problem. I'm not saying that about Kawhi, but he's a little quirky, and I'd just be careful here.
As you know, if he gets it done on the court, none of this will matter. He can be as quirky as he wants as long as he plays well.
Yeah, you can have fungus on your shower shoes in the show, right? You do it in the minors.
As long as you ball.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it would be wise for Kawhi to do a one-on-one interview or something where he speaks. However, here's the issue. He doesn't talk a lot. He might not come off well. Remember Derrick Rose started to do a lot of speaking about his sexual harassment trial or assault trial, and he didn't come off well. So it might be, I don't know how he'd come off. I know he's very quiet. He doesn't say a lot. And if it came off poorly, it could be even worse. So maybe they're doing the right thing by keeping him away from the media.
All right, I'm going to break out my own video. Do you guys remember when John Wall threw out the first pitch for the Washington Nationals?
Do not.
Okay, John Wall. This is John Wall, who's a great athlete, right? He cannot throw. He can't throw a baseball. And I said this yesterday, and I mean it, that we're raising this generation of guys that the only thing they can do in life is play basketball, and they struggle with human interaction. And Kawhi is a bad version of that. to which he's always been a quiet kid. He didn't come up as a superstar. He came up as an unknown. Even though he's State Player of the Year in California, he wasn't McDonald's All-American because he was a center in high school. So, look, this generation of basketball players, we have the Karl Anthony Townses, we have the John Walls, we have the Kyrie Irvings. Some are brighter, some articulate things better than others, but many of them are really aloof and standoffish unless they're on a basketball court. And that's why I think it's actually a bad idea to put him in front of a microphone. That's where he's least comfortable. I think that a lot of this is purposeful. They want to chase everybody away to make it to where he has to be in L.A. He has to be with the Lakers. I don't buy the Clipper thing for a second.
Really?
Nobody wakes up and nobody wakes up in Los Angeles like, you know what I want to be? I want to be a Clipper. And there's no such thing as a lifelong Clipper fan.
Doug, something nobody's
Clipper Darryl's
talking
Laker
about.
Laker Darryl now.
The reason he might want the Lakers over Philly or Boston, he is in the process of getting a new shoe deal with the Jordan brand, and he's nothing is signed, and if you're in L.A., that's a huge market perfect for the shoe deal. But Whitlock, to go back to something you said about his mom and his uncle running the show, let's say you're Philly and you want to take a chance, and the mom and the uncle, who don't have any other clients in the NBA, say, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll think about signing with you. And then, you know, they don't have any other clients, so they're not beholden to you. Things don't go well. The mom and the uncle just say, we don't care. We're going to go back on our word. He's going to L.A. Like, it's a dangerous spot when you're dealing with people who don't have a lot of experience, as the uncle and the mom don't, in this kind of situation.
I think we're assuming, though, just because Kawhi's not talking, that his uncle and mom are running everything. Let's not – I mean, I think the Spurs misread Kawhi. They think he's not – you know, he's kind of simple because he doesn't talk. I think Kawhi is very intelligent.
Yep.
He's very observant.
So who's running it?
I think Kawhi is running it. Now, his uncle obviously is working for him. His mom has influence. But I think Kawhi is going to end up where he wants to go. I don't think they're going to say, go to the Lakers, go to Philadelphia. He's going to do what he wants to do, and they're going to try to help facilitate.
I agree with that. It's the whole idea of the smartest guy in the room says the least, right? You got 2 ears, you got one mouth. And, you know, so listen more and speak less.
You know, real bad boys move in silence.
real G's move in silence like lasagna, right? But I think what's interesting here about Kawhi Leonard is this idea that somehow L.A. is going to market a shoe better. Like, who's going to buy a Kawhi Leonard shoe?
He doesn't do interviews,
and
as
hold
he
on,
said.
He's turning down how many millions of dollars? 70 million to
maybe
San Antonio
if they offer him
like
Supermax.
So,
if I tied everything you all said together, that we all said together, what I think, and particularly, Doug, I think you kind of went there, this is about sports becoming more like Hollywood. And it's about child stars. And then child stars and their helicopter parents. And so I think if you look at LeVar Ball and, you know, they're the Kardashians of basketball and with his kids, and now you have this child star again. He got to the NBA at age 19, you know, from a city and a place, you know, Riverside, that, you know, that's not where they're just pumping out multimillionaires or whatever. This is all a strange experience for everybody, and they're all dealing with fame and a lot of money that they – and it's very hard to handle – And this, to me, just sounds like a child star who could, maybe he's going to be Lindsay Lohan, maybe he'll be Will Smith, I don't know.
It's arrested, it's arrested development, right? It's arrested development. I mean, like, look, Dwight Howard's a perfect example of that. He comes from a really good home, but he really struggled with interacting with people, with understanding how people would take his jokes in the league or even in his own locker room, how it would affect the coaching staff. So, but I think the part you nailed is the bigger issue is, yes, it's about guys too much too soon in terms of the fame and the money, and then you factor in parents today. Because kids have always wanted more. Kids have always pushed for more, 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 more as fast, but they used to have better balance at home. Now the parents are more in on, hey, I can get in on this as well. The kids haven't really changed, the parents have, and this is the rare case of a kid who may be a little bit in over his head in terms of what he wants, and a mom and an uncle who are ill-equipped for exactly what you're trying to do. Like, there's a reason you hire a professional agent. Yes, it's a check you don't want to write each month, but this is a time in which it comes invaluable because he's losing a PR battle.
To Oklahoma City, where reportedly the Thunder and Carmelo Anthony will part ways this summer after Melo opted into the final year of his deal worth almost $28 million. The move has already sparked speculation Melo could join his buddy LeBron in L.A., and the Lakers have already made some outside-the-box signings so far. if Melo comes to L.A. and joins LeBron, I've given up. After what we saw from Melo in Oklahoma City, and to add another ball stopper to the Lakers would just seem crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good fit. He doesn't play defense. I mean, Oklahoma City had trouble keeping him on the floor against the Utah Jazz in that series. He's a ball stopper, as you said. He's not going to sit out there at the three-point line and hit threes. He won't accept his role. He could go to a good team and help somebody if he would willingly accept that type of backup role. I don't think he will. Look, he's in his 16th year. He's not the player he used to be, and he's got to accept that. So I wouldn't take him if I was the Lakers.
Jason, how many guys that are friends of yours you really like and they're good personalities, but they've said, hey, I want to be on your show? And you're like, look, you're my friend, and I love you, and you're funny, and you're quirky, and you can argue with me about sports, but I can't have you on my show because you might drop an F-bomb, or you might say, or you might show up late, or you might no-show at all. That's what LeBron needs to do with this Melo thing. Like, we're friends. We're still boys. I can't have you on my team.
This is a just saying.
This dude has won 3 playoff series his entire career, and now he's washed athletically.
Before you go, Jason, I hope my lawyer in Kansas City, Kirk May, is watching, because Doug just said that's why he wants to be on my show.
Broussard, you were being too kind, okay, to Carmelo Anthony. He was unplayable against the Jazz. I mean, total nightmare, 21% from deep, wouldn't pass the ball. So let me get this straight. If he's not going to take a role as a backup on OKC, not going to go to the bench, you think he's going to go to the Lakers and listen to anything they got to say, or Boston or Philly? I wouldn't be shocked.
He would defer to LeBron, and that's it.
I don't know that he's deferring to anybody. At 34, he's turning 35 in May. I don't think Carmelo Anthony is on a team to start the season. I think at best, come February, maybe somebody signs him. But this guy, I think it's over for him.
Oh, I think so. Houston's interested. Yeah, I think he can help Houston.
Houston.
What would he do in Houston?
Stand out there and try to shoot jump shots. Stop. They wanted Joe Johnson. Remember, they picked up Joe Johnson at the end of the year. At a minimum deal, hey, look, I wouldn't think it's crazy, actually, Golden State to take a run at him, only in that we just need – remember, they had Maurice Spates a couple years ago. Maurice Spates didn't guard anybody, just came in to try and get buckets.
Melo and Boogie.
Again, if you can get –
you're trying to kill
certain,
Steve Kerr,
certain
huh?
systems, he'll fit.
Correct.
We don't know what the heck the Lakers system's going to be with all these playmakers.
And they don't have a strong enough personality right now with Luke as coach. I think when you're trying to install a culture and you're LeBron in L.A., you stay away. But when you already have a culture established, that's the whole thing with Boogie Cousins. I think that's the one reason it could work is you have until February to have him watch and absorb the culture, because the old Boogie Cousins would be a disaster.
But again, y'all blowing my mind suggesting Carmelo at Houston or going to any team thinking about winning a championship. Why Melo?
Because Doug said it. If you already have a good culture established, you can fit him in.
No.
Oklahoma City didn't really have a culture. They brought in George. They brought in Melo.
It's different.
So now Leffert does not change his spots. Carmelo Anthony's going to come in and look for his minutes, look for his shots, call the shots.
Jason,
that's what these guys do, man.
I agree, but it's different when you're on a minimum deal. You're cuttable. Some point, he's going to have to look himself in the mirror and say, if not here, where am I going
to
play?
Let me tell you why they're wrong. It's like I dated a woman that loved to take me to Whole Foods. She thinks, I'll take him to Whole Foods, he'll eat better. I go to Whole Foods and I figure out a way.
They got good barbecue at Whole Foods, already pre-made.
I figure out a way. All right, welcome back. Seth Joyner is here for Last Call. Let's move to golf, where Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson might be raising the stakes of their rivalry, with the two reportedly planning a $10 million winner-take-all showdown. Seth, is this a cool idea or sad?
Listen, I love it, man. I'm a major golf fan, and just the fact that these two guys, after all this time, have become friends. You know, Phil Mickelson was supposed to be the next Jack Nicholson. Then Tiger Woods comes out of nowhere, steals the glory, he's second fiddle. That's why they didn't really like each other. But now that they're friends, on the downside, on the back nine of their career, I absolutely want to see it. I think it'd be
in their prime. I would have wanted to see this. They're not in their prime.
Listen, they're both still playing pretty good
golf. You want to see Magic and Bird play one on one?
No, but you're talking about two different sports with diminished skill sets. I mean, Tiger is resurgent. Phil just won a WGC last year. Come on, man, it's great TV.
All right, let's try another one here. To LeBron James, who apparently celebrated the 4th of July on a yacht in Italy with none other than music mogul Jimmy Iovine. Seth, LeBron's been a Laker for less than a week. Has he already gone Hollywood?
It's the off-season, man. Dude should be enjoying himself, traveling the world, hanging out with iconic people. You know, he came to L.A., you know, not only to play basketball, but for to expand expand his brand.
A jersey chaser?
Like,
you love to hang out with celebrities.
Oh, no.
I like to hang out with real people.
I've never been a celebrity, so why would I want to hang out with celebrities?